Now we're going to go into space-time, and I'm going to explain to you what happened to our two space travelers as they were traveling to Mars, when one of them took off and came back and spent less time in doing so. I'm going to explain to you why that actually happened. Okay. Are you there? All right, good. Now, I want you to imagine that the first side of that triangle, which we call A, okay, which we then squared to get A squared, I want you to imagine that represents how far the second rocket ship travels as it moves away from the first rocket ship. Okay? Now, I want you to now look at that perpendicular line, which is line B. I want you to imagine that that line represents how much time was spent aboard that rocket ship as watched and observed by you who watched the traveler travel away from you. You're in the first spaceship watching him go, okay? And you measure his time to be that length. Now, wait a minute. How can you measure time and space? They're different things. I mean, space you measure in feet or miles, and time you measure in seconds. How can you make time and space the same thing? You already know the answer. How far is it to work? 45 minutes. You just made time and space the same thing. Well, what are you really doing when you're making time and space the same thing? What you're doing is you're putting in a speed. And the speed that you put in for you is the speed of your car. The speed of my car is roughly 45 to 50 miles per hour when I drive to work. So that gives you a way to relate time and space. It's the speed that you use as your reference. Well, can you guess what reference speed we're going to be using in Einstein's relativity, or what we're going to be using in this particular adventure we're talking about? If you guessed C, the speed of light, C is the symbol for the speed of light. Forget that. I also use it for the hypotenuse, but forget that for a moment. If you're going to use the speed of light as your reference, then if the spaceship traveled away from you while you were in your spaceship and went for 5 hours traveling away from you, then it would have traveled a distance that the speed of light would have traveled in 5 hours. That's what we mean by that amount of time. Of course, it wasn't going at the speed of light. It went the distance that you measured, which may have been less than that. But it doesn't matter what it is. We'll just pretend whatever it is. Okay, now we've got a triangle, because then we can draw a hypotenuse to that same triangle we had before. But one leg of this triangle is now a time leg, and the other leg of the triangle is a space leg. Okay? And this is where, remember I told you about this weird inner feeling you have going on inside of you, that sense of rhythm that you have going on inside of you, that thing about you which both Einstein and Richard Feynman say we can't get hold of? We're getting a glimpse of it when I tell you this formula. What happens is, instead of adding a squared plus b squared to get c squared, you actually subtract one square from the other to get the hypotenuse squared. In this case, we take the perpendicular line, the T line, we square that, and we subtract from it the space line, the X line, the line of space, and we get a number, which is the hypotenuse, which on your sheet of paper looks long, just as it would on a normal triangle. But in actual numbers, it's been stretched, and what it comes out to be is a number which is smaller than either of the two sides. And what is that number? What is meant by that number? It's something which is called proper time. And proper time is not the time you spent with Aunt Agatha drinking tea. Proper time is the time spent by the traveler in the second rocket ship as he experiences time. In other words, the proper time is the time the second traveler is actually experiencing. And for him, since it's the difference of two squares, that number comes out to be less than the time you measure for him to travel. And that, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, is all there is to Einstein's special theory of relativity. If you can understand a squared plus b squared equals c squared, you can understand b squared minus a squared equals c squared, and you've got relativity theory. Now, this is why we have the notion that a moving clock can actually go slower or appear to go slower relative to a stationary clock. This is where that idea comes from. Moving time goes slow. And now, let's take this to an extreme. Suppose we now consider that instead of a space traveler traveling out from you as you're sitting in your rocket ship on the way to Mars, let's imagine that you have just sent out a message, a light signal message, maybe a radio signal message, whatever you want to call it, and it's just been sent out at the speed of light. How much proper time does light spend going the distance it's going? Well, in this particular case, if you take the time leg and compare it to the space leg, they're actually equal in length. If I take b squared and I subtract from it a squared, but in this time a equals b, I have b squared minus b squared, what do I end up with? Well, what's any number squared minus the same number squared? What's any number minus the same number? What's 5 minus 5? What's 9 minus 9? What's 16 minus 16? You know the answer, it's zero. In other words, the proper time for light is zero. Or to put it another way, for light, there is no time. Light is the essence of that internal feeling that you have. In fact, you might think of yourself as a body of light. And this is really the great mystery. This is the magical moment in which the physical world that we're going to talk about more as we go further into relativity theory and time travel, and the internal world, that feeling you have inside of you, this is where they overlap. This is where they're together. This is where one is the progenitor of the other.